Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Getting ready for my friend Pomp to hand the mic to Mike Tomlin. Cam Hayward, I was just mentioning him from PFF, Pro Football Focus, is just on a heater right now. 3-game winning streak, 2 sacks, a QB hit, and 14 hurries. So he leads all interior linemen in the NFL in terms of their grade at PFF at 82.3. He's having a hell of a year. What will Tomlin say about DK Metcalf? Well, we're going to find out momentarily. I don't have a guess, really. I'm very curious to hear it. I think the suspension is going to get reduced, but that's just my opinion, to 1 game. So that'll be a focal point. I'm sure he'll be asked hypotheticals that he won't answer and shouldn't answer, really. There is no answer yet about what he would do if the Ravens won on Saturday night. But the question still needs to be asked and probably will. And right now, it's just, other than the Metcalf thing, it's pretty much good news. TJ Watt, going to be asked about him. Is he going to practice this week? This is the most fascinating Tomlin news conference of the year. Would you agree, Sean?
Yeah, maybe even a question about Will Howard.
Then why is Bob stalling? Why is Pompeiani stealing the mic from him?
That's a good question.
It's almost 12:03, which means that Tomlin should be on. But of course, Bob wants the camera. So TJ is a mystery. And remains a mystery. The last real thing of substance we saw was Adam Schefter's tweet the other day saying it's still, quote, murky. And we don't know when we're going to see him. Now, TJ was at the facility last week. The key question is he going to practice? Do you expect him to play?
I don't think he would play before the postseason, no.
But it's got to be asked today. And then with the Metcalf thing, you know, have you spoken to DK? What did he say happened? What do you expect the league to do? Are you in touch with the, you know, all that stuff with Roger Goodell? I don't know, but that's bound to come up for sure. In fact, that'll come up first. I don't know if he'll address it unsolicited or not. We're waiting on some other injured guys. Nick Herbig is one of them. And then we're going to hear him pontificate about the Cleve Brownies and about Shador Sanders and company. He should just skip that this week. He should just say, you know what, usually I address the other team, but it's only Cleveland, so I'm just going to go straight.
That'd be a great strategy, yeah.
I'm going to go straight to your questions. What do you want me to say? He's going to talk about Myles Garrett? Maybe. Here he is.
Afternoon. As always, I'll start with a brief synopsis, if you will, of the last performance, and there's certainly with a lot of significant things that transpired in that game. And it's just good to win games like that. I just think there's individual and collective growth when you come through the other side of tough circumstances like that. And certainly there were a lot in the game. You know, a lot's been written and said about the spectacular play, for example, by Kenny Gainwell that allowed us to go into the halftime tied 10-10. And certainly it was a spectacular play. But when I think about that possession, I think about those converted third downs. The first one by Pat Freiermuth, I think, on third down and 10. And then I think there were two more by Adam Thielen that were third down and 10, third down and 11-like conversions. And to be quite honest with you, if we don't make those conversions, you don't get to hear about the quality play that Kenny made. And certainly, probably equally as important, we punt the ball away, and they're probably coming back at us with an attempt or opportunity to extend the lead prior to the half. And so certainly the Kenny play was significant, but the whole sequence, those third down and 10, third down and 11 conversions that preceded it were equally as significant for a lot of reasons. And it's just good to rise up in moments like that as a collective. And I just think it's important that we recognize it. That's why we came together yesterday, man, to really analyze this tape and void the victory Monday, if you will, because it was just so much growth and so many things to lay to bed and gain an understanding of and appreciate, because we got to do more of that as the road gets narrow, certainly. I thought situational football was big. We won a tight red zone sequence there early in the game. We certainly knew that Detroit is an aggressive group, particularly early in the game in that area in the search for 7 points. I thought that sequence of events where we stood up and won that sequence was big. I thought equally as important was the backed up offense that followed. We didn't produce a scoring drive, but we had an earned first down, and it's so significant to get earned first downs when you're backed up. It gives you room to operate. It minimizes the potential of a subsequent score if you punt the ball away. I think on that third down, we hit Calvin Austin on our sideline, and that was big. By the same token, I thought we did a really good job in backed up defense. When we did turn the ball over with Darnell going in, our defense took the field and stymied the running game, and then on third down, we got a sack by Kyle Duggar that was significant. And so we played really good backed up offense. We played really good backed up defense in those examples. And certainly just a no blank component in our collective at the end of the game on the short field and just fighting down in and down out was significant. It certainly wasn't easy. We absorbed some penalties and so forth, but that's just a component of play. I just think largely, man, our guys cut their eyelids off, man, and didn't blink and stayed in the fight. And sometimes staying in the fight is probably the biggest asset in your hip pocket. And so that's what I mean when I say there's growth there. From an injury standpoint, we got a laundry list of things going on here. James Pierre worked out this morning. We'll see where that leads us. I'm sure he'll be limited, and we'll follow his progress throughout the week. No new update on TJ. I'm sure he's been in the building, but I'll gain further information about his potential participation at the early portions of the week and where that might lead. Siamalu, same thing, no update there. We had some Nick Herbig is looking optimistic in terms of game availability. He certainly will be limited in the early portions of the week. Some in-game things that happened. Brandon Echols with his groin. Don't know where that is. Certainly hopeful. We're certainly thin in the secondary, but that's life this time of year. We'll see where his participation might pick up as we push through the week and thus his availability. Jaylen Warren should be limited at the early portions of the week. Spencer Anderson, likewise, but we're optimistic that both guys will be available to us. As always, we'll do what's appropriate in terms of working hard and smart in an effort to get these guys and others to the stadium ready mentally and certainly in the best physical shape that we can get them in an effort to do so. Now, on to Cleveland. Been looking at these guys quite a bit, and certainly working with an edge as I sit here today at the doorstep of winning the division, man. I just don't take this opportunity lightly. Divisions are won on the road in those hostile environments in those opposing cities. And certainly we've had our issues in recent years in Cleveland. And so with that understanding, we're preparing and preparing with an edge. We were in a similar circumstance a year ago at the doorstep in Baltimore and wasn't able to get it done. And so I'm excited to be here, but also urgent about where we are. Got a lot of respect for this group, and I'll start first with their defense. You know, quite frankly, they're the number one unit in the AFC North. They are. Statistically, they're better than any other unit in the North offensively or defensively. They got what appears to be a slam dunk defensive player of the year. They got what appears to be a slam dunk defensive rookie of the year in their front seven. Myles Garrett has certainly been an issue for us in that venue. I think he's had 5 sacks against us in our last 2 trips, neither of which we won. And so we understand the gravity of what we're going into and how they engineer victory and who's significant in doing so. He's at the doorstep of history, and so we certainly have respect for that. They got a quality, experienced coordinator in Jim Schwartz who does a nice job dividing the labor up and really getting after people schematically. The environmental component of it, I'm sure, will be something to combat. It always is going to Cleveland. And so we got to put together a thoughtful plan. Certainly, we could potentially lack some significant people and so forth. But again, that's life. We better put together a thoughtful plan in terms of how we divide the labor up and put ourselves in position to engineer victory. Looking at their offense, they've changed a lot. Since the last time we played them. The last time we played them, Kevin Stefanski was the play caller. Now Tommy Reese is, and certainly the quarterback has changed. Shadur is doing a really good job. He's growing and growing with each week from an outsider's perspective. And I think it's always cool when you're growing with company. Certainly see him gravitating towards some young players whose roles are expanding since the last time we played them. Can't say enough about Fanning and what he's doing. I think he's got 70 catches and over 700 yards as a rookie tight end. It's pretty special. Isaiah Bond's role has grown in recent weeks, and you see Shadur really looking for him down the field, and he's provided some splash for him. Acquisition they got from the Jets, and Malachi Corley wasn't heavily involved the last time we played him. He appears to be increasingly so now. Reverses and so forth, man, really utilizing his skill set and providing some splash for him. Man, it's really unfortunate that their top young runner got hurt. I just got a lot of respect for that young man and how he plays. And certainly I never want to see anybody get hurt significantly that way. And so just sending well wishes to him, but also understanding that one man's misfortune is another person's opportunity. And so I'm sure they have some capable guys that have been working behind the scenes and readying themselves for their opportunity, and I certainly have respect for that and the potential of that and the unknown component of that. We're no different, you know. Dylan Cook is getting a lot of attention for what he's providing us, but, you know, he's been working in the ranks for a long period of time, and I was never asking him to be patient but simply to work while he waited, and it's paid off for him and us through his participation, and so that's through the lens that we see their running back position, and we certainly better be ready to minimize the run. It's kind of been a catalyst for us in recent weeks, our ability to improve our run game on offense and minimize opposing units' run game. And so I imagine this week will be no different. But there's a lot of things to discuss, man. These waters run deep in divisional play. I'm excited about it. I'm sure our team will be. We better put together a good plan. We better have a no-blink mentality. It's December. It's that time of year. We anticipate being challenged and challenged in a big way. That's life in this league. But that's what we love, the competitors that we are. We love that. And so with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Mike, I imagine you talked to DK Metcalf. Did he explain in your conversation what caused him to go over Costafin and why did he go over?
He did explain to me why he did what he did, and I certainly don't condone the behavior, but I support DK, and I really don't have a lot to add other than what I just told you. I think he has a hearing this afternoon, an appeals hearing, and I certainly don't want to weigh in prior to that, and certainly I've heard more recently that there might be legal ramifications, and so I better be careful about what I say and how I say it. I'm sure you guys got a lot of questions. I understand that, but that's just the posture I'm in as I sit here today with so many components of this thing yet to be resolved.
Mike, I know it was an unusual situation, but does the team have any protocols to sort of prevent or to monitor, make sure players don't kind of go over there and have that sort of interaction?
I know there's a lot going on in the silent during the game.
Exactly.
Mike. So is that a yes?
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sir, no, do you have protocols or not?
We certainly may, but I might not be privy to it because my eyes and attention is what's going on the field. But we have a top-notch security group, et cetera. Everybody in the National Football League does. It's not only from an organization's perspective, but it's a global component to it as well.
Right, from a football perspective, what do you lose if DK is not available specifically this week?
One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. A guy like Roman Wilson, for example, who has been working extremely hard and growing throughout the course of this thing, but had his role reduced in recent weeks, man. I'm excited what this opportunity might mean for him to display growth in the midst of the time where he hadn't been participating, to show his professionalism and his readiness and how he's been sharpening his sword for battle in the ranks while he hadn't been playing, for example. And so I just think that's always the lens in which I see it, whether it's discipline in nature or injury related. You can waste a lot of time pining for those that you don't have. As a leader, I think it's my job to work and prepare those that I do have and position them to live out their dreams and be positive contributors to a winning effort.
When you
When you say support DK, what, if anything, does the organization do to aid him in his appellate appeals process?
Again, I'm behind the scenes in that. I'm sure he's gained some assistance from us from a front office perspective. But I've just been putting together a plan to play in Cleveland this week.
Mike, two questions. What was your reaction when you saw that video?
I'll keep that to myself.
Does the organization or you prepare players for volatile rhetoric thrown their way? And have you heard it in the past? How have you reacted to it?
You know, I just think volatile rhetoric is a component of our business today, unfortunately. It just is. But not only our business, college, you know, youth sport parents. It's just, you know, I think it's just a component of sport that's developed and developed in a big way in recent years, and it's unfortunate. But really, I have nothing to say about the matter other than that.
Mike, when you say legal ramifications, do you mean from DK's side or the fan side? Or blah, what's the... Can you expand on that?
No, I can't.
Mike, DK has a history with this fan. We reported he's reported this fan to security before. Is there more that the NFL should or could do to protect players in that situation?
Again, I respect your questions and the fact that you guys have questions, but it's just so many components of this situation that are yet to be resolved. Me speaking on it and speaking on it in detail and particularly expressing my opinion regarding things doesn't help the circumstance in any way.
Mike, DK has obviously had a number of sort of flashpoint incidents over the course of his career. What's he been like on a day-in and day-out basis with you, and is that a part of your saying, I support him?
You know, he's been great. He cares. He works hard. He's a heck of a guy. He's a good teammate. And that's why he's easy to support.
Mike, no TJ or Nick Herbig last week. Just how did you see that group step up, specifically Jack Collier?
You know, love the work that Jack gave us. Certainly love the work that Alex Highsmith gave us, although we anticipated it from him. But Jay Moon as well. But schematically and strategically, you don't replace TJ and Herbig, and we understood that. And that's why we talked a lot about destroying the pocket from the interior. We did have full strength on our interior pass rush. They had an elevated center, I think, on their side. And so we approached the game that we had to win on the interior because we could get them off the spot and destroy the rhythm of their operations in doing so. And so schematically, we put together a plan with that in mind. And it didn't take long for that to show itself. I think the second play of the game, Benton had a sack. And so I just think that, you know, you adapt, you do what it is that you need to do in an effort to engineer victory. We were strong inside. We lacked depth on the perimeter. We put the challenge to our interior people to impact the game in that way. We put some schematics behind it. And we went about playing.
Is TJ at the stage where he's recovered from his procedure, and is this just about getting back into football shape for him?
I think that's a fair estimation, but again, I'll let him speak in terms of his medical. I think for me, to talk about injury is one thing. To talk about medical is something else, and so that's one of the reasons why I've been a little bit hesitant besides my lack of expertise on the subject matter.
TJ is ready to talk in the near future, maybe this week, about everything going on?
I do.
Do you anticipate him returning to practice then this week?
Again, I don't have that information as I sit here today. I'm hopeful.
Mike, talked to Patrick Queen last week. He noted that something that he had to grow in this year was his communication with Terrell Austin. He said he would blow up and not fully express himself. But he said it was you that came to him and said, we have to fix this. What led you stepping in, and how did that conversation lead? How does that impact your defense?
You know, Patrick is a heck of a player, but being the defensive quarterback is a new role for him. And he didn't have that responsibility, although he was a significant player for the Ravens. Roquan had those responsibilities. And so it's my job as a leader, man, to help guys grow where necessary, and certainly identified that as a space of growth for him. And it's really got nothing to do with playing. It's about absorbing the responsibility or the informal responsibility that comes with being defensive quarterback. And to his credit, man, he's not been resistant to it in any way. He's embraced the challenges, and I'm pretty transparent in challenging him in that way. But it's been a fun process. I like being a part of someone's individual growth and development, particularly the development of a leader, because there's benefit for him, there's benefit for the collective when you pour into that.
Mike, if you find out,
I'm sorry, did you have a follow-up?
Just a quick follow-up. How have you seen that leading to an increased performance from your defense, seeing that improvement from
I you? Think I could point to a lot of things that's a component of that. We've established some more stability within the unit over this journey. We absorbed a lot of attrition. We acquired new players that weren't with us in training camp, et cetera. And so to attribute that would be a stretch. There's many variables and many layers to that discussion.
Mike, if you find out Saturday night that the game against the Browns doesn't mean anything in terms of the division title, will it alter any last-minute decisions on personnel?
You know, it may. I hadn't thought about it at all. To be quite honest with you, I just found out this morning that game is Saturday night. I just learned to be tunnel vision over the years. But as I sit here and make plans today for tomorrow in an effort to lay a foundation to engineer victory, that's something that's of very little relevance to me today. I have plenty of time to ponder those things after we get a little bit more solid about preparing ourselves to play the Cleveland Browns.
Mike, you have some significant milestones either approached or coming up. Any thoughts?
None. It's about this journey with this group. I'm doing a disrespect to this journey and these guys that I'm fortunate enough to lead and work with, if I view it any other way. I'm appreciative of some of those things. It's been a blessing, but really of no relevance as I stand here today, man, leaning in on this Cleveland Browns opportunity this week. It's just so many people in this collective that it doesn't apply to. And this football being what it is, it's the ultimate team game. I better display that focus.
I expect Dylan Cook to get some help if Myles Garrett's on the other side. And how much help has he been getting, in these last few games?
Everybody gets help against Myles Garrett. I just finished watching San Francisco tape. Trent Williams got help. And so certainly he's going to get help, but certainly everybody has gotten help. And it had to slow down the train. He still's got 22 sacks. I imagine most of those are not one-on-one plays. And so we're going to do our due diligence, but we're not going to act like or pretend that we're reinventing the wheel here. We better put schematics around him. He better play well. And we better stay out of one-dimensional passing circumstances. And you still might not stop the bomb from going off. That's been how impactful this guy's play has been this year.
Mike, what was y'all's evaluation of Shador in the spring, and sort of how have you seen him develop in the last couple of...
It does not matter. He's not a Pittsburgh Steeler. He plays for the Cleveland Browns. I'll let the Cleveland Browns talk about his evaluations.
What have you seen from him these last few weeks in terms of his development from the first time he got in maybe to the most recent?
Again, I haven't looked at it through that lens. I'm looking at it through the lens of somebody that we need to compete against this week. His growth and development is not my charge. Preparing a plan to minimize what he and they do is my charge.
Mike Garrett's always been very good, but he's 30 years old now. He's having the best year of his career. What have you seen that's different about his play or the way he's using him that has him at the doorstep of history, as you said?
He's a freakish talent. He's experienced. He's healthy. But he's also probably in year two with Jim Schwartz. And it's reasonable to expect people to get better from year one to year two, whether it's an individual or whether it's a collective. And certainly Jim's been doing it a long time and doing it at a high level. I imagine there's an uptick in not only him but everybody in terms of just being in year two in that system. And what you're watching is probably the benefit of that.
I don't think they've got a point to run away from Cam Hayward a lot this season. And in this game, when they did it, it seemed like your guys really stepped up. Keanu Bett and Derek Conner. What have you seen from their efforts to improve in the run defense, and where are they at?
I've read some of the narrative about Derek Harmon and his run game exploits, and so I'm not going to do anything to diminish that. Maybe he is just the monster that the narrative says he is.
talk about the growth and development of Kenneth Gainwell and how he fits within the boundaries of your team.
You know, man, Kenny's an awesome football player first. He's multi-talented. I've told this story several times when speaking of him. He really got on our radar when we played him a year ago when he was in Philadelphia. He was really significant in that game. He returned kicks, he covered kicks, made a tackle on kickoff. Converted a couple significant third downs in the first half that produced, I think, 17 points for them. Saquon cast a large shadow. And so we certainly thought he was a capable guy and that there was more there if given an opportunity, and I think he's proven that.
Mike, you mentioned you're going to prepare with an edge and that it's been a struggle at times in Cleveland. Why has it been? Why is
Myles Garrett. I outlined it. He had 5 sacks the last 2 times we've been there. He's a game wrecker. He provides the wave that others ride, and particularly in that environment when you're working on silent counts and one-dimensional passing circumstances, et cetera, it is significant.
There are 4 very pivotal OPI calls in both directions in that game, particularly in the red zone. I know Quadrada can get there, but is there a functionality to how play calling is taking place these days that are drawing those flags out, or have you found there's been an emphasis on the league to curtail that?
No, sometimes officiating crews have personalities like units and teams. We scout officiating crews in a similar way. I think going into that game, that crew had called the second most penalties per game of all the crews in the NFL this year. And so we went into the game understanding that we needed to play clean, that could be a component of the outcome of the game. And so that's just football in today's world. There's information at our disposal. We're able to scout crews and understand their personalities, the things that they call, the things that they don't call, and prepare during the course of the week accordingly.
Mike, what is it about Ben Skowronek that has made him such a good special teams player and gunner? And was that tackle in Detroit an example of why he is a Pro Bowl player?
He cares a lot. He cares hard. He's really talented. He's a football player first. And what I mean by that, he's a wideout who is a very good tackler. In the same ways that Kenny Gainwell is a running back who is a very good tackler. And you just always love doing business with guys like that. They provide value in other ways other than getting the ball. Really enjoying our experience with Ben. It feels a lot like Darius Haywood Bay. And we had some significant years with him as a wide receiver who was really special teams capable and had passion in that space and knowledge and expertise in that space and enjoyed tackling.
You were talking about the injuries. I don't think you mentioned Calvin Austin. Is there an update on his hamstring?
I don't have one. I acknowledge that it is there, but I don't know if he was in the building yet or where that might be in terms of his participation or non-participation tomorrow and thus forward. And I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Jack, so you pitch into the collective on defense, especially this being his first start and the effort that he put in the run defense.
When given an opportunity, man, Jack continues to prove that he belongs. But that's what we loved about his profile, to be quite honest with you. He's not a guy that runs from it. He's a guy that runs to it. He's got unbelievable belief in self for a young guy. He's made some plays already. He had a sack going into the game, an interception. He makes a lot of plays on special teams, and oftentimes a young guy that's not getting a lot of defensive opportunity, that's the first space that they show their capabilities, and he's done that. And so I don't think any of us are surprised by his willingness and ability to be a positive contributor to us. Just that's what we expect from him.
How do you feel about the collective of young players that you guys have been amassing on defense, guys like Keanu in his third year, Jack as a rookie, Harmon as a rookie, Black as a rookie? Just you guys seem to have a lot of young guys that are pitching in and learning how to fit in.
It's been needed, particularly up front, as I mentioned. We've absorbed a lot of attrition during the course of this thing. Dean Lowry, Dan, Loudermilk. One man's misfortune is another guy's opportunity, and I think we did the right thing, man, fortifying depths with those bigs dating back to last spring, acquiring those 2 young men via the draft, and to go along with Jack Sawyer, it's certainly been needed.
Anyone else?
If you clinch the division, do you plan on resting guys in week 18, and what does that mean?
I haven't contemplated the ramifications of Saturday's game, so you know I hadn't pondered that.
Mike, what is the value of a Spencer Anderson and all the different things he can do, and how unique is it to have a guy that can go guard, tackle, fullback?
Man, can't say enough about his versatility and his intellect, but you know, he did that at Maryland. He played every position other than left tackle at Maryland. And that was a component of us really liking his profile. You know, you got to value versatility when you're picking later in the draft. And he certainly displayed that. But I don't want to have him in a box either. We believe he's a guy that has starter capabilities and the potential for that in his future as well. But certainly in the short term, he's been an asset to us with all the things that he's able to do.
Mike, just one more on DK, just to be clear, because there have been some second and third hand reports. Did DK tell you that the fans said a slur to him?
I won't discuss what he and I discussed, and I think I've been pretty clear there.
Anyone else?
Will you speak on his behalf at the hearing that he has today?
Again, I'm not discussing anything as it pertains to this because it doesn't help the unresolved component of this circumstance and situation.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right. A very interesting Mike Tomlin news conference. Here's what stood out to me as far as the DK Metcalf thing is concerned. A couple of little nuggets there. One, I certainly don't condone the behavior. Said he supports DK, whatever that might mean. I certainly don't condone the behavior. That stood out. Also, Tomlin went into, you know, he was asked about the volatile rhetoric that happens. People saying stuff to players and coaches and really bad things. And he basically said it's a component of our business today, unfortunately. It just is. He mentioned youth sports, college. And to me, the unspoken there was a repeat of what he said earlier. I don't condone the behavior. The unspoken part of that is it's part of our world and you can't react to it. That's what he was saying. I don't condone the behavior. And then I thought of something else, Sean, as we go along here that didn't click for me earlier. But if DK Metcalf had had an issue with this fan, I don't know if it was last year, earlier in his career for sure, in Detroit, was that known going into the game? Because if it was, there should have been extra security, right? I don't know whether it was or not, but if it was a problem before with this particular fan, man, you would hope that security would know that. I guess maybe that would be tough to know unless DK tells you. But the security in general in this situation seemed to be lax to me. It really did. It didn't seem to be doing what it should be doing when a player starts to approach the crowd in the middle of a game. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
What? Tony mentioned, you know, with the Eagles, Big Dom is so prevalent, right? He's become this like face of the team for their security.
Now, is Big Dom out on the sidelines or is he back by the wall, you know, that keeps fans from players? Here's the thing. Given everything we've seen in pro sports over the years, and given the state of the world these days, anytime you're in an environment like that and there's a wall separating people from the combatants, from the players, there should be tight security in that particular area. And it didn't seem to be that way at all from the video I saw. It was the guy talking to DK. Then DK starts to make his way over and he says something to a security person dressed in police-like gear. And the person just lets him go after they have. I don't know what that conversation was. And then that person, the security person, just sort of backed off and observed everything. And then there was another security person in a red shirt that said security, another security person who did nothing but watch like he was a fan. I'm sorry, but if I'm a player, first of all, or a coach in that environment, I wouldn't be happy with the security to start out with. Like, what are we doing here? Anything could happen at any time in an environment like this in pro sports. You know what I mean? Go ask Monica Seles about that when she was attacked on the tennis court. What are we doing? Nobody is standing there vigilantly protecting players from fans, at least having a watch the whole game. It didn't look like it. And if they were, they didn't do anything when a player started to approach the crowd.
At the highest level, which the NFL obviously is, you would think that they would have to have security there. If nothing else, even if they're not intervening necessarily from a physical aspect, so that they could be someone who can maybe convey what they heard in the exchange, right? So it's not a he said with a fan and a player. They have someone who's an arbitrator there to make sure the verbal exchange doesn't get out of hand. I agree with you. You would think that that is something that should be universal at every stadium in the NFL. Each team could bring their own security.
Whoa, where are you going, right? That's what you need to say to DK, really. Like, yes. Where are you going? What's up?
And a security guard, if Metcalf is going to go over there, should be stride for stride with him, kind of getting in between, just so that if the fan does try to throw something, for instance, it's not hitting a player.
Right. In the end, and that doesn't absolve Metcalf, and I don't think Mike Tomlin absolved him. I certainly don't condone the behavior. That's the money line from that news conference, pretty clearly. So he's saying there, basically, no matter what was said, and, you know, I compare it to, again, to Shaq Lawson, the Bills defensive end in Philly last year, said that a fan and his teammates corroborated, you know, it's still a he said thing, but his teammates said that a fan was using threatening language against players and their families. If I hear that, I'm very tempted, you know, to go and confront somebody. But is that, I have to not do that. That's the thing. I have to not do that. Now, Lawson went there and pushed a fan, and the NFL didn't even fine him a penny. That was 2 years ago in November. Here we have a situation where Metcalf went and physically confronted a fan, and he's getting two games. Something seems very inconsistent about that, for sure. But in the end, I'm with Tomlin. I'm with James Harrison, even, believe it or not, and Joe Hayden, who both said, yeah, man, I would have been tempted to go beat that guy up, but you can't do it. You can't do it. I certainly don't condone the behavior. Let's talk to Brian Batko coming up next. There was a lot in that news conference. Man, you don't hear Tomlin with rookies talk the way he just did about Derek Harmon. That was tremendous. And you know he's read some of the narratives out there, and those narratives say you're giving up a buck 90 when he's not in the game and less than 90 when he is. And he said basically that maybe the narrative is correct, that this guy is a freaking monster. He sure looked like it. That was Sewell he was going against, throwing around maybe the best offensive lineman in the game. That's scary stuff. And then on Myles Garrett, maybe the best defensive lineman in the game, Tomlin was just tremendous on that, asking if Dylan Cook will get help. And he laughed and he said, I was just watching Niners tape. Trent Williams got help, for God's sakes. Everybody gets help. And it hasn't slowed down the train, he said. Sometimes that bomb goes off anyway. And then the other big story is TJ Watt. And Tomlin wouldn't go so far as to say TJ will practice, but only that he's hopeful. So we have a lot on the table for the Batconi and Mongoose today, don't we? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Time to check out Lynch Golf Sales. It's 1240. Great place for holiday gifts at Pine Creek, the best golf store for all your Christmas gifts. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag.
year, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fifty-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Rain throughout the day, but warmer with a high of Bud Dupree, 48. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Yes, the Batconian mongoose. He's here. He's ready. Brian, in terms of the DK Metcalf stuff, Mike Tomlin saying, I do not condone the behavior. He also wouldn't really go into depth about it because he said there are legal ramifications. That was interesting that he said that. What did you make of everything he said and didn't say about the Metcalf situation?
Hello, Joe, and Merry Christmas.
You too, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, legal ramifications, I guess, you know, word certainly got back to Mike Tomlin that the guy lawyered up pretty hastily yesterday afternoon. So, like, anybody wants to face a litigious Lions fan who's about to have a ton of time on his hands now that this team's not going to be in the postseason. So, I didn't see it happen live. I don't think anyone really did except for that one CBS camera and the people who were around him because I was watching the game. But then once the broadcast showed it, I kept my binoculars on that situation. And I mean, the guy didn't get kicked out. There was a ton of security around, not a ton, but multiple security people. And then a police officer. They appeared to be chatting with the guy extensively, reviewing cell phones from other people. I'm assuming that's some of the same footage that has now leaked out to social media. So really bizarre situation. And Tomlin, I guess, you know, he had to answer for it in some way, but I guess he didn't really know what to say considering he wasn't there either.
Well, he did say, I don't condone the behavior. That's what stood out to me. And he did say, you know, unruly fans and volatile rhetoric, as the question was phrased, are just a component of our business today, which to me, the unspoken thing from Tomlin there is you got to find a way to deal with it no matter what. Is that what you took from that?
Yeah. And frankly, I agree with him. And that's one of those debates that you could have with your buddy about anything. You could be at a football game with your friend or a basketball game or a baseball game, and some fan from another team is chirping you. Your friend might say, we should go confront him. And you might say, let's keep it moving. I mean, that is like the, you know, everyday decisions that you make. And in this instance, DK Metcalf made the one in 10,000 decision to go get in the guy's face. And I think there's a lot of things that can be true here, Joe. Mike Tomlin's point that unfortunately this is part of it, but they all do get paid handsomely to be heckled at times, be cheered at times. That can be true. Fans acting like jack wagons is not cool. That can be true. Maybe even this guy is a particular problem and deserved to get punched in the nose. That can be true. And maybe he didn't use a racial slur at DK Metcalf. That can be true. So there's just a lot of tentacles to this. And as far as the precedents here with Shaq Lawson or even Lamar Jackson earlier this year, I mean, to be clear, I don't know. I can't make out really clearly from any of the audio that people have posted what was said or by whom, or even if something was said when these guys apparently had a run-in last year, which was reported, I think, by Tom Pelissero. So I don't know the depths of it, but it makes me think that the NFL at least doesn't have any findings or any concrete evidence of this guy saying something like that to provoke DK when I see the 2-game suspension.
I don't know that it matters what he said to the NFL. I think the NFL rules more on did this guy physically initiate anything, like the fan in Buffalo did with Lamar, and the league didn't do anything to Lamar. Now the Shaq Lawson thing makes you wonder. Similar situation. Guy that the player said was using, you know, threatening language, and he physically basically reached over the railing and pushed the guy. Why didn't Shaq Lawson get so much as a penny of a fine? I think the Bills fined him, not the league. No punishment from the league. I was talking with Andrew Filipponi here, and I tend to agree. I'm not sure anything comes of this if it's not caught by a CBS camera and Romo and Nance really focus on it for a while. You know what I mean, Brian?
Yeah, that could be part of it. Maybe the fan himself escalating this could be part of it. Maybe they did find that Philly fan was completely out of line and provoked Lawson in a way that's more beyond the pale. I don't know. We're all speculating on those things. And the discourse around this has gotten pretty absurd, I guess, as it always does when you have these hot button topics with a bunch of different things baked into it, you know, fan player dynamics, race, a star player, an idiot fan wearing a blue wig. Like, there's a lot of strong opinions throughout the spectrum on this. I've seen people say that CBS should feel ashamed for showing it. Otherwise, this never would have gotten out and we never would have been the wiser and everyone could have gone about their day.
Well, let me be clear about that. Like I brought up, I don't know that this becomes a big issue if CBS doesn't show it and if Romo and Nance don't talk about it to the extent they did. It's absolutely your job if you catch it to show it. If you're CBS, I completely defend that. What about, it seems the legal situation here is centered around what Chad Johnson and James Harrison have said on their podcast. That's what I'm reading into that anyway. Are they now involved in this legally? Because they better be right that DK told them that, correct?
Yeah, that's another layer of it too that is pretty bizarre. I mean, you're taking Chad Ochocinco and Debo at face value here, that they did have a discussion with DK himself and that it wasn't secondhand. And while I enjoy these guys' commentary at times on podcasts and
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, You get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.